They'll check it out. A whole new generation of young people today who belong nowhere.
But I prefer to be now cast.
Third culture kids, where the concept of the Dukan is the corner shop or the top shop.
We are live outside. Hey, yo, what's up, people?
What up, nation?
It's a revolution of expression.
You tuned in to the Dukan show. Stay tuned in.
Arab digital generation is shaping our identity, their creative expression, and their future. So please give a very warm welcome.
The Dukan.
Welcome to your tribe.
So, Tak has something to say.
Why am I here?
So, no, Tak has something to say. He's got a bee in his bonnet, as they say in the 50s.
Wow.
Or what's grinding your gears, Taki? Tell us what's wrong.
So, one of my favorite…
Wait, can you do that again with the deep voice that everybody's been seeing on your Instagram?
One of my favorite rappers of all time is Lauryn Hill. So, yeah, one of my favorite rappers of all time is Lauryn Hill.
Mm-hmm.
And I never looked at Lauryn Hill as a female rapper.
Mm-hmm.
Her album, Miseducation of Lauryn Hill, is top five rap albums, period.
Right.
Top five that are alive.
Yeah, like male, female, transgender, whatever.
Agreed.
And I never understood why, like especially in the community, like in the Middle East and stuff, whenever I hear about a female rapper, which one of them I actually had a conversation with, I won't name her, but… I asked her opinion on this, on why she feels that female rappers are not being pushed, or why they're not, you know, at the same kind of like level in terms of fame or notoriety as male rappers, even though they're a hot commodity. Like,
right.
Female rappers are really interesting to the Arab world, right?
Right.
So it would make sense for them to be popular.
Mm-hmm.
So my frustration.
I
with
felt
her
that.
Answer.
That was like a heavy sigh.
Yeah. What was her answer?
So, my frustration with her answer was because she was basically saying the things that female rappers… I'm going to just say female… I don't like saying the term that way, but I'm just going to say for the sake of context.
Yeah. Go ahead.
She was saying that the things that female rappers have to do to get that notoriety is very different than what male rappers have to do.
Did
like
she give
what?
You examples?
Yes. And she was like… They need to either sexualize themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And this is not just in the Arab community. This is across, she's saying across, you know, everything. Either sexualize themselves or dumb their lyrics down.
Mm-hmm.
Or ride off the back of another male artist.
Mm-hmm.
Which we've seen.
Which
there's
yeah,
countless examples.
Yeah.
100%. And I disagreed with all of her points because like you in hip hop, more than anything, what we value… is substance.
Right.
And there has time and time again, female rappers that happen to be female have outdone male artists and have made a name for themselves and have broken records and have done everything that they needed to do without a sexualizing themselves,
mm-hmm.
or taking a dip in their substance,
mm-hmm.
or riding off the coattails of a male artist.
Okay.
And her whole thing was like, my whole thing was to her was like, I'm like, I just think that maybe the female artists, the female rappers that I've heard are just whack.
As in sounding?
No.
As
their
in
bars
in
are whack.
Okay.
Yeah, their bars are whack.
Okay.
Their delivery is whack and they just don't try.
Right.
And
is that across the board though?
As far as I've heard.
Okay.
I've done my research on…
Because yeah, looking back, I mean, I'm a big fan of Lauryn Hill. I know her discography, but also Lauryn Hill started as the Fugees.
Yeah.
Right? So maybe that is also began off the back of guys. Just to play devil's advocate.
Yeah, of course.
Okay.
Because this is a very interesting topic. And then after that, as far as female rappers go that I'm aware of, Salt and Pepper, Queen Latifah, right? Who else we got? We have… And then you got the others of like…
Missy Elliott.
You got the Megan Thee Stallions. You've got…
Rhapsody.
Cardi B. You've got… What's her name? The other one.
Doja Cat. One of my favorite artists right now. Period.
Okay. And the other… The one that started with the…
Nicki
Lil Wayne.
Minaj?
Thank you. Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
So like… If we look at those that we've mentioned… That we could just think of off the top of my head right now. Like… Most of them hypersexualized.
Yeah.
That's true. But there's just one thing that is constant across a lot of them, they still got fucking bars.
Right.
They still are artists. They're substance. Mm. At some point, at least, Nicki Minaj was a monster. Her verse that actually Kanye, she had on Kanye's record. Kanye didn't want to put it out because she outshined him.
Mm.
And that says something.
Yeah.
That it wasn't just because at that point, yeah, maybe she was a little bit, you know, she was getting frisky, you know what I mean, whatever. But she was still, mm-hmm. she still had bars and no one could tell her otherwise. She right. showed up to all the cyphers, the BET cyphers, and murdered
she was
it.
Killing it. Yeah.
And she killed everybody.
Yeah.
And, but that was, you know, that was what everybody respected. And obviously the appeal of a, you know, the female body in the industry is undeniable. It's just how the patriarchy has made everything to be.
Mm-hmm.
But she didn't need that. She didn't right. need it. But she used it to her advantage for profit, which I support.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. So okay. you see that as a bonus, yeah, but I not a requirement for her not. To make
think,
it as an artist.
I think the industry makes it seem like you need to do that.
Mm-hmm.
You don't. I think what's very smart about artists like Doja Cat
mm-hmm.
is that with all of her skill and all of these catchy, incredibly musically… geniusly crafted songs, she has been hypersexualizing herself and using the male gaze to her advantage to make money.
Okay.
And she's 100% aware of that. That's separate.
Okay.
But the detriment of that model of thinking and releasing your music and your brand is that people who are not privy to these business tactics will assume that this is A, how you got there, and two, younger, more impressionable artists are going to be doing the same thing, yeah. not realizing that you need to have bars.
Right.
But this right. is like, here's the thing. I don't listen to any of her music since I heard one track that went something like cow, cow, moo, moo, cow, cow.
Oh, that was a parody. She did as a joke. But,
so look, if you've been on TikTok, Doja Cat on TikTok, her songs, as soon as they come out, they're on everyone's feed. Like it's literally the soundtrack to everyone.
So you think she would have been able to make it without hypersexualizing herself as an artist?
Oh yeah.
This is the question, by the way. The tension between success and sexuality is one that women have to tackle in any music genre.
Exactly.
Like mm-hmm. this is an issue that I'm not a musician. So I've always been on the outside, just right at the edge,
yep.
knowing some of the most famous ones and some of the people that are just trying to make it. But across the board, every woman has to come to terms with how she's going to navigate sexuality.
Yes.
Is she going to use it as a weapon? Is she going to use it? Is she not going to pander to that at all? In hip hop specifically, it's very hard to make the argument, in my opinion,
yeah.
that you're just going to make it on bars alone. Because it's still it's still a male-dominated industry. That's my experience being a consumer right. of hip hop since I was a kid,
yeah. mm-hmm.
but also growing up with hip hop. As in, I was, you know, like the earliest that I've known is Queen Latifah. That was the first, like, I heard somebody and I was like, oh my God, this is something, someone. Yeah. But Queen Latifah is not sexualized.
Yeah.
When you look at her brand, Queen Latifah is queen. You know, but she's also tomboyish.
Yeah.
And that's a sexuality play as well, guys. Like a tomboyish is a sexuality play.
To be accepted as one of the boys.
To be
one, which is the Missy Elliott, the Salt and Pepper back in the day as well. And keep it in mind, like Queen Latifah retired out of music way early.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
But I'm just saying what I was saying, just to kind of play the sexuality. Everyone uses it. There's a different way you can use the weapon is what I'm trying to say.
Like for me now, is there, sorry to interrupt, but like to agree with your point, I'm trying to understand, like, is there an Aretha Franklin or a Sade of rap?
So if you look at,
do you get what I'm saying?
In my opinion,
they're not sexualized at all.
I think Sade was extremely sexualized.
I mean,
but
musically, she wasn't, the way she presents herself, she wasn't like, you know, down to bikinis.
Was pretty.
I mean, the music is love music. I get that. But I mean, she wasn't down to like bikinis and like…
I think people fetishized her softness. I think that's what people did.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So she played on purity and innocence and just the border of being softcore.
Same with Lana Del Rey, plays on the power dynamics in music. She did.
So I think what I'm trying to get at here is that every woman in a male-dominated arena… whether you're in music or not, you're going to have to make a decision about how you're going to use the sexuality card that patriarchy gave you. Like, I didn't have, without the patriarchy and misogyny that, you know, are branches of the, like, same root, if you will, I would have no card to play. This has been, you know, this is something I grew up with. I inherited it. In this debate has gone on for so long. There is no formal end answer, but we should have the conversation.
Yeah.
Right? I don't believe, and this is a very, you know, I'm not as up to date maybe with female rap artists in the Middle East at the moment. But from what I've seen, let's not put that in. No, from what I've seen, we are not competing at a global. We are not the best of the best when it comes to rap at the moment. Have we had more resources than ever before? Yes.
No offense, Stack, but that goes to male rappers too.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. No, that's
like,
true. That's
let me call out like Middle Eastern rappers.
Yes.
Like,
I'm not saying. So what I'm saying is, So what I'm saying is, I believe that we need to find, and I've called for this many times on the show. In every creative arena, we need to find our own sound, our own voice.
Yes.
Because at the moment, we're reproducing. And this reproduction is not going to do us any favors, you know? But we also have to make ground for that bravery to happen.
Okay.
Right? The sexuality issue, as in how a girl decides to play that card, I don't look negatively at the hustle.
Me
however...
Neither. I promote it, if anything.
I appreciate the hustle. When Cardi B comes out and she's Cardi B, that brand, you know what I mean? That is really hypersexual, that has no apologies for the fact that she was a stripper, has no apologies for what she does. I look and I'm like, it sounds like that's authentically you.
Right.
So I cannot argue
that's
that.
Who you are. It's not
Yeah.
But I think.
But hip hop demands that you're authentically you.
Yes.
And when you're making up them dumbass stories about something else that is not your life, then you do no service to yourself or to hip hop. And this is where I have a problem.
Yeah.
You know, so if you are sexual and that's what you love and that's who you are, then be that. But if you're doing it to move forward, to succeed, and it makes you feel like you're dying inside, hip hop wants you to stop that.
Yes, 100%.
That's my belief. 100%. You know?
But that's exactly what I was saying. Like, you look at the common denominator of all these female artists that we're mentioning. And the common denominator is that they are either one themselves and they're dope. Like that's all I was trying to get across to, like my female sisters in the hip hop, is like, you are more than capable of being better than a man at rapping.
Okay.
And also being yourself. Yourself, women. I'll give you a great example. Young MA. She has two handicaps. She's a woman and she's also a lesbian.
Okay.
In hip hop.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
But she still released hit records. She still got the respect from the streets, from males and females alike. And all on account of her bars.
Right.
Yes, I know that she
also
does…
Also, so is Coffee.
Yeah.
Coffee.
She's a dancehall artist.
Well, Coffee has… Coffee's incredible. Coffee's like across all genres is respected. Like…
Yeah.
Yeah.
And without having to… You
and
know,
probably from my… from what I've seen as part of her journey… The fastest growing up and comer as an artist.
Yeah.
Look, the thing about Coffee, and this is the thing, I really hesitate to comment on music because I am your Billboard top four. Like, I have the ear of like, I don't need underground stuff.
You're a radio.
I am, sorry?
You are a radio.
But that's
I am your target market. I am your target market.
Everybody tries to sell to you.
I cannot read music. I have expendable income. and I care very much about whether your sound is sticky.
Yeah.
Whatever it is.
Right.
Coffee is played by mothers, by fathers, by children, by people who are young and old. There's something about her music that makes it inevitably timeless.
Yeah.
And I don't know what that is. But I just know when I hear it, I'm like, yo, everyone's going to love this. Not just people who listen to dancehall. Not just Jamaicans. Yeah. Not just, you know. So…
I think Coffee is the prime example.
Yeah.
Like, Coffee also grew up in Jamaica, right?
Yeah, I get that. But the way I'm saying, like, Coffee is the prototype.
Of
right?
What?
Of… A great sounding artist.
Authentic.
Male or female.
Yeah. Okay, yes.
Male or female, an authentically sounding great musician. I see her as the blueprint.
Yeah.
Because the creativity, the skill, the finesse, the musicality, all of it. Like, she ticks the box. She doesn't just tick the boxes, but you're talking about like 9 out of 10 across the board.
Yeah.
Right? Across all the categories required for you to be a great artist. And… it's something in the water in Jamaica. It's the artist she grew up around. Whatever
it
might have been.
To music and making it a part of the history and culture. Yeah. Like, because in the Arab world, we don't have that yet. I don't think we're really digging into our musical roots to you know, craft a sound that's ours.
Exactly. And I think it's in this part of the world, it's not just in regards to music, but I think whether you want to be an athlete, you want to be a musician, you want to be a rapper, a singer, whatever it may be, starting at 16, you're already 8-9 years late in the game, right?
Yes.
These people have been doing this from like the ages of 3.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
so if you want to compete, like you got to do
3-4
times as much work just to keep up with another person that's the same age as you are.
Yeah, I get that.
So she was raised and bred in this environment from a very, very young age.
Absolutely.
So.
But I do feel like what Tak is saying, and correct me if I'm wrong, you're saying that across the board, we have to have better commitment to our craft.
Yeah.
And not use sexuality as a way to get ahead or to cover up the fact that some artists have not done their homework.
Yeah. Because I believe in, I believe in women aggress so aggressively that they can be better or as good or as better than men in anything. Like, I feel like it's an insult to put, to give them a lower standard. Like, the standard for what is considered a dope female rapper, and I'm going to speak on hip hop because that's my space, but the threshold for what is considered dope is so low compared to men.
Really?
It's so low.
It's the same threshold we hold Aaron by.
leave my uncle out of this.
Leave Uncle P Storm out of this.
But when someone, you know, in my space sends me this dope artist, this dope rapper, she's you know, she's up and coming, whatever. And I hear, and they're like, I'm like, yeah, this is cool. But then, what I consider dope when it comes to males is, you have to be as good or better than J. Cole.
Got it.
Do you know what I mean? Like, that's
a standard for you?
Yeah.
Answer me this. Why is the standard so low then for female rappers?
From the female rappers that I have spoken to, it's, they just don't feel that the motivation is not there, and because there's they don't feel in competition with men because they feel like the standards are different. Like, as opposed, like,
so the competition rappers.
Yeah, like, you know how I told you that the really dope female people like Doja Cat, Nicki Minaj were dope and then managed to find a way to market themselves sexually to profit off of that in their own right, as they have all the right to do. The perception
so
from
PC,
that then.
Bro.
No, but that's
no, but what you're saying is right.
The perception of that to up and coming artists is I don't need to.
Right.
That's the general consensus from the female rappers that I speak to, that I feel like are not at the standard they could be at.
Okay.
Because it's not about ability. It's not about. That's the problem here. Is a lot of times it's like, in hip hop, we generally regard women that rap are just not as good as men, and that's all it's going to be. It's in comedy, for example, right? There's this thing that, oh, women are not funny. It's like, no, bro. A lot of the times you guys just make it seem like they don't need to be funny to be famous and make money. And,
right.
Which is not, okay.
So you're saying society is making it okay for them to be not as good and still succeed.
Yes. And I think…
So they're measured by a completely different
standard.
Exactly.
And it's fine for them to do whatever they need to do to succeed. But my issue with that is… Don't lie to them and not give them that option.
Ah, okay. So and when we say don't lie to them, who is lying to them?
Female rappers in big positions of power, like Nicki Minaj.
Okay.
At the moment, Cardi B, and the thing is, it's not even so much them; it's just their marketing. Whoever does their marketing, whoever pushes their narratives, chooses what they say, has how many views, as opposed to this interview that they didn't really push that much, actually, where they're like, oh, I just do this because boom, 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 boom.
I get that.
Yeah, I just feel like, you know.
Look, I can't control what Cardi B or any of them do, but we can make an impact in our region because I think everybody here, we've got enough power to change perception.
100%. 100%.
So, Taki, if you were going to improve the state of female rappers in the Middle East, because I don't think we're ready to tackle the world.
Yeah, yet. Of course, of course.
What would you do?
One, to be honest with them. Man, I wish I could name drop. This is so bad.
No, I know. I'm just saying, are you honest with them?
I'm super honest. And you know what? I always tackle it from a point of this. I never tell anyone that I think is trash that they're just trash.
Right.
I always like, this is what you need to do. This is what I think you need to do. This is what other people may tell you. This is what I think you need to improve on. This is where you're fucking great at.
Right.
This is where you succeed. Now elevate everything else to that point.
Right.
But don't look at male rappers like male rappers. Don't look at yourself as a female rapper. You are a rapper.
Right. So that's, you're thinking that you think that the gender division,
yes,
creates a glass ceiling. So she doesn't even feel like, yeah, she can get there.
Yeah.
Like there's something that's stopping her.
Genuinely, I feel like that's across a lot of different industries.
Yeah.
Now, why I really wanted to speak to you about this is I wanted to know, you have spent a lot of time going through
your entire career
going through,
yeah,
an industry that is dominated by men,
yeah,
and at least from my view and my perspective, like, you, to me, you stand out as like someone who's like way ahead of them in terms of passion, ambition, your ability to articulate yourself, to...
That's very nice of you to say, Zach.
It doesn't feel
like that when I'm on my own, but it's
nice. I can imagine.
It's nice of you to say that. Thank you,
yeah,
very much.
Yeah, it is recognized and it's very appreciated. And like, I look up to you like the same way I'd look up to anyone else that's like incredible, right?
Thanks, Zachy.
You're welcome. And now my question to you is, do you feel like when people refer to you by your gender, whenever they talk about your accomplishments, do you feel like that takes away...
Yeah.
From what you've done?
So in some circumstances, yes. So I, for the longest time, and even now, hesitate to be a part of the female empowerment movement. And that doesn't mean I don't support female empowerment.
Yeah.
I just believe that the way the movement is currently structured, it doesn't actually empower women. We've now, unfortunately, created a pathway for brands or organizations to use us as tokens during a key moments of the year. We're literally spots to fill in a calendar to check mark that you've targeted,
yeah,
your target market. And this does no justice.
And it's disrespectful.
Yeah. And so this is here's my overarching issue that I've had to face for all my career, which is that if I am at a table and it's mostly men, it's more likely that everybody there will have to do less to earn the same amount that my time is valued as less than theirs.
Yeah.
That's the first thing. The second thing is that if I lose or if I slip, I have to work twice as hard to get back to past zero, you know?
Mm.
So if we slip back, it's all the criticisms come much harder. And that might be a personal thing, but that's how I felt. The other thing that I do feel, I'll speak really honestly to this. I have learned to use my sexuality as a weapon to be used only when I need to flip the table gently. And I've done it because at some points, it's an ace in my pocket that I will not lie and be like, oh, I don't use it. No, no, miss, I do. But when I do, it's kind of like if you have a pill and you're trading it for time.
Mm.
Every time I use it, I lose something.
Yeah.
And I have to know that gamble. Like,
yeah,
I know it's a gamble.
Yeah.
So for example, if there is a moment where I'm going to be in a position where I might have to flirt or whatever, I think very carefully about whether I'm going to do this. Because once you're in that arena where you are identified as somebody that is flirtatious or hypersexual, men that I know and that I've worked with don't put a high value on that woman's time.
Yeah. Yeah.
And in fact, they believe they can buy her time.
Mm.
So I'm very careful about where I use it. Have I used a power suit to gain, like a power suit is a sexual symbol. Do I use it to my advantage? Absolutely. I will not lie and say I haven't. However, when I see young girls sleeping their way to the top of any industry, and as you can imagine, I've worked in the media industry and there is a casting couch and it exists and it's real. I have no judgment for any woman who chooses that route. But please know that you're gambling more.
Yeah, yeah.
You're giving something more away. It's not free.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
what I mean? And
that's the misconception.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And my challenge in any woman's career who is trying to do well is that when you move into the space of sexuality, you become commodified. Mm. So you are no different. At least I felt this way. I hope that generations after me don't. But you are no different to somebody who can be bought.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
The things that people cannot buy are my time and my attention. Those are things that I can play with. So all of this to say, if young girls who are entering male-dominated industries feel like they need to use it, know that there's a big sacrifice that comes with it. One you may not recover from easily. Where you put yourself in positions that you may not recover from psychologically later on. Secondarily,
the cost is higher than the benefit.
Absolutely. And for men as well.
Yeah.
If you have a boss that's a female and you're flirting with your boss that's a female to move through the company, you're changing in her eyes. In her eyes, you're now something different, right?
And they feel like they could own you.
And there's an ownership and a power dynamic that you're constantly playing.
And that's beyond gender at that point, you know?
Exactly.
That's,
So to my point earlier about the female empowerment movement, we empower each other by giving each other business, by promoting each other's businesses and saying each other's names in rooms where we may not necessarily belong, for choosing women-led businesses first. But I will not promote that I do this. This is my practice.
Thank you.
I don't need Dukan to post that we've supported female. We've supported thousands of female-led businesses. I don't believe that we need to promo ourselves off that. No.
Yeah.
It's either in the DNA or it's not. Right?
Yes.
And that's one thing you learn from hip hop. Like you look at Lauryn Hill. And she went through that clown phase. I don't know. Like, you know, she did The Miseducation of Lauryn Hill. Changed my life, that album. And then she had a tough spot. But you know what? I can look at her discography and I see this is Lauryn Hill. This is all the things she went through. Whether you like it or not, or whether it's old albums or not, was irrelevant, right? So this, for me, is what we should be striving for.
Yeah.
Right? Now, are we good enough? Most women will not have other female rappers to look up to and mentor them.
Yeah.
Whereas you guys, with all due respect, you have Aaron, you had the recipe, you had so many people gunning for you.
Yeah.
Like gunning, like 100%. Fighting for you. For women, it's not like that. For women, I believe that to find heroes is one thing, to find mentors is another. And I don't believe you would ever do this, Tech, but when we find mentors, for a lot of women, we don't say this enough, but I hesitate to put someone in a mentor position because I don't want to be in that power dynamic where maybe something gets misconstrued or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
So it's a very difficult time, I think, right now in the Arab world for women who are rappers. But I believe that now with the democratization of information, we can have more writing workshops. We can have more, you know?
Right.
So you're right about one thing, right? I don't believe the caliber is there yet. I don't believe the caliber of artist is there where we're like, has anyone been signed for a global label?
I think nobody is there, whether guys or girls, that are an export product as a music artist.
We're not ready to be exported yet.
No. You're good
locally.
For here, you're a local. But you're not an export yet. Like you're not there where like kids in Japan that don't speak the language would be into it and they're bumping it in their cars and in their clothes.
Right, because you know, like Freak did that.
Yeah.
Freak did that.
He
with
transcended
his,
language.
So Freak did that with his music too.
Right.
With all respect.
Yeah.
Freak had guys globally listening to his music and absorbing the music and loving the music.
Right.
A girl hasn't done that yet. A woman hasn't done that yet. And I feel like now's the time. You know,
more than ever
for a woman to do that. But I also don't blame it for not happening because she's still got an Arab dad. Do you know? Arab brothers and Arab siblings and Arab cousins. So for her to be this great rapper, she's also got to reject. Well, I'm making huge assumptions, but I imagine the women I know have to reject a part of their lives.
For sure.
And
there's always an element of sacrifice when it comes to becoming an artist. But for women, it's a different kind of sacrifice I would never understand. Really.
Right.
And I think this would be an interesting conversation to have with like Fluka and Malika.
Can we bring these girls in to have this conversation? Like, let's take this episode.
Shadia Mansour and like bring all these Arab female rappers because I feel like
they deserve
they have
a
something
space.
To say.
Oh my
say.
God, speaking of Feluca, Feluca for me is the perfect example right now in the Arab world of like, she is probably like for me top five rappers in the Arab world.
I agree with you.
By and in her English, and English. Like I'm mm-hmm.
No, Feluca is an artist.
She's incredible.
This girl
incredible.
Is incredible.
Yeah.
However, Feluca did something that other people couldn't do. Move to the States and
yeah,
be in the music scene.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which we haven't, like if you're not immersed in it, you know, you yeah. gotta be something special to do the research and absorb and whatever.
Yeah.
So I feel like this bodes a second episode.
For sure.
Can we start to bring in female rap artists, MCs, whatever you want to call them? And I'd like to explore removing the female. And let's
yes.
have a conversation
yes.
about, because I never want to be like, oh, Reem, female entrepreneur. No.
Yes.
I'm
yeah.
a businesswoman. That's what I do. And if I'm great at it, great. If I fail at it, I fail at it. But it should never have been because I was female or male or whatever it was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I think we should have this conversation about like removing the gender issue. I'm not one to speak
and
to
what's
the industry
required,
because I'm not in it,
no,
right?
Yeah. And what's needed in terms, like what's the measuring stick without moving the goalposts? Like, are you getting measured at the same caliber? What's needed to measure you at the same
yeah.
caliber?
I know, but to ask the question,
you know?
Like why aren't we there yet?
Yeah.
We have resources. Why
yeah.
aren't we there yet?
Yeah.
We have other, like some regions don't have Spotify, some regions, but we have access to
yeah.
all of that. Why are we not the best in the world?
I genuinely yeah. think it's going to take one like incredible artist.
Like
who just does it, you
right.
know, who just does it and just shows them that it's possible to do it this way. That's all it's going to take in my eyes.
Yeah, I agree completely. But in the meantime, I'd like to get these girls
yes,
on the show.
Yes, for sure.
I'd like to have voices because I think that it's important for us to discuss what are your challenges? Like, why are we not creating some of the best MCs in the world?
Yeah.
We have struggle.
Yeah.
So why are they
yeah,
making
that's,
great,
you know, and one thing I just wanted to say, which every conversation I've had the past couple of years has always ended up in this kind of core topic, is this thing called an ibtila.
What is that?
An ibtila basically means a tailored struggle.
Okay.
Yeah. Right? And what this means basically is, not to bring religion into it, but just in general, it means a struggle that only you can cross, a obstacle only it was
so this
made
is like
for you.
Your cross to carry.
Yes, and
yeah.
I think one of the things that I always tell people is when you're faced with adversity and everything seems to be against you, like especially for a rapper that is female, like your ibtila, if this is your passion, is that you are a female in this industry
mm-hmm.
and people don't expect you to be dope.
Right.
But you have so much context that no one has ever heard. And this is your chance to cross through this obstacle that is made for you to cross.
Right.
It is not about capability. It's never about capability. You're 110% capable. It's just about realizing that this is something that's made, it's against you. It's a sword that is fashioned against you. But you are also made to go through it.
Yeah.
And defy the odds and
yeah.
actually do it. And that's... For me, women are the queens and kings of doing that.
Yeah.
In anything. So I just think it extends to rap. And that's
yeah.
All I
no, I respect that. So I think homework is, Tacky, get your girlfriends on the show.
Yes.
Because I think it's important for us to make space and have that voice.
Definitely.
I can only bring to the table my experience. And
yeah.
my experience is that this shit's jagged. Like,
yeah.
it's really jagged 100%. And it's really like a labyrinth. And, you know, I sympathize with the fact that there are no heroes.
Mm.
So if your heroes are Queen Latifah, Missy Elliott, you know, Remy Ma, like whoever it is, then you're not going to meet them. So
yeah.
how are you going to get to
yeah.
know the craft, you
yeah.
know? So that's something we can, I think, work on for next time.
Definitely.
What do you think, OTOT?
Yeah, for sure. And even those females we mentioned, not all of them are celebrated for their craft.
100%. You're right.
Like, and
true.
I think that's the critical point of where this conversation started is, today, if you are an up-and-coming rapper and you want to emulate a global name and you want to be like them, you're going to look at Rakim, you're going to pick up Biggie, you're going to pick up Pac, male or female, doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Nobody thinks, oh, I'm going to be like a Queen Latifah, or I'm going to be like a Lauryn Hill. And unfortunately for a lot of the girls, or fortunately, and I understand that's their hustle, but then your current standards are Meg Thee Stallion, Doja Cat, and the likes, yeah. right? So, and even then, it's where is your skill set as an MC?
Yeah.
Is what I'm going to always challenge this with, right? And that's the biggest question. So, even for the girls here, they're going to go and study Rakim,
yeah.
right? Or at least study one of the quote-unquote the greats. Because, like, I don't know. Like, how many female rappers made it to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
Not enough.
Right?
Yeah.
So, there you go.
Yeah.
And with that, Tack, you got a lot of homework.
Yeah. Bring your friends. Sure, let's talk sure. to them.
Call me when your friends are here. I'll be here.
Let's do it.
Thank you for kicking it with us today. I hope you enjoyed listening to this week's episode as much as we enjoyed creating it for you. Please subscribe to the show wherever you get your podcast at to stay up to date with all our conversations. Also, if you don't mind, hit us with the 5-star rating, leave a comment, let us know how you feel about the show. That way, it could also help others find the show. And be sure to share it with your friends and family, whoever you think can benefit from it. You can holler at us on all social media platforms at The Can Show. We'd love to hear from you. Or you could drop us an email to hello@thecanmedia.com. Salam.